Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
I appreciate the opportunity to be with you. There we go. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you and thankful for the things that Andrew said. Understand, those of us that preach and introduce our guest speakers, and especially those guest speakers that are our personal friends as well, have a tendency to lay it on thick. And I'm going to make changes in my funeral arrangements when I get home. I now want Andrew to speak at my funeral and tell everybody what a good fella I am. No, I do appreciate that. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I appreciate this congregation. We have many friends here, have over the years. I have been in this auditorium many times, and including when I was quite young, quite small, with my dad coming here and speaking. And then over the years, I've been able to come back here for teaching purposes myself. It's a wonderful, wonderful place. We love the congregation and the leadership and our personal friends. And I'm grateful that I can visit with you tonight. And let me go ahead and go on record. I'm speaking for a lot of people as I thank you all for your support of World Christian Broadcasting. This congregation has been involved with that for years. I bring you greetings from about 25 full-time folks down at Cool Springs in Franklin, where our operations center is located, as well as those that man our station in Alaska and also in Madagascar. We are on the air now 35 years. We have about 300 congregations or so that have us in their regular missions budget. Others will do special things throughout the year. Graymere has been a model of consistency over the last many years now, and we're very, very grateful for what you are helping us do around the world. Let's begin tonight in prayer. Father, thank you for our opportunity to be here. It is an opportunity. And Father, thank you for those that have taken it, for those that could just as easily have chosen to be somewhere else or listen to something else, watch something else. Father, we live in a world with so many distractions. We ask you to bless our minds and our hearts to not be distracted while we consider your will and our strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I was asked to talk about my strength comes from the Lord. And I was glad to see the little skit here with the young ones and how they carried that out in such a fine fashion, and the interest that the little ones had. We just went through our VBS, I guess, 2 weeks ago or so now at Center Chapel. It never gets old. It never gets dull to watch their enthusiasm. It never gets dull to watch their passion, and to watch and consider their excitement. And we can learn a lot from the young with passion and excitement. As we get older in the faith, that can wane, quite frankly. Now, maybe it can wane for any number of reasons. If I could just say, all right, we get one answer from every section. I start there and I start there and say, let's get a couple answers here and so on. Go around the room and let's see if we can get six or seven answers. Why does passion for who we are, why could that possibly wane with someone as they get older? Well, there could be any number of reasons listed, and they'd be understandable, accurate situations and reasons. But it doesn't mean, just because it's normal, perhaps, and just because it's understandable, perhaps, and just because, as we say sometimes, 9 out of 10 doctors agree on some commercial, just because it would be that common does not mean it has to be that way. Certainly, that it should be that way. And so we're going to talk a little bit tonight about our strength, its source, and really, quite frankly, how to maintain. It's easier to maintain than it is to regain, I think. And I think Scripture teaches that. Not that it cannot be regained. Not that we cannot rebound. But I think maintenance of the source of our strength, sources of our strength, in Christ and blessings found there, I think it's easier to maintain than it is to regain. Sometimes preachers get up and urge this and we urge that and we pound certain things, and it seems like somebody says, oh, Andrew, he just, give it a rest, Andrew. I know we're supposed to be at church, Or I know we're supposed to read our Bibles at home. Or I know we're supposed to pray. Or I know one of these things that we constantly shake in front of the brethren. You say, I've been a Christian 40 years. I'm at church every time the door is open. I got it. It still ought to be said. It still ought to be said. Nobody quits the faith. Nobody shrinks back. Nobody falls away overnight. I remember years ago, I was about 16 or so, my dad preached a sermon, and it was called The Things That Happen. Just kind of put a dot, dot, dot on the end of that. The Things That Happen. And I remember this statement made early in the lesson. The things that happen don't just happen. They've been getting ready to happen for quite a while. Now somebody says, how do you mean? Or what did he mean, do you think? Well, he went on to talk about through a series of actions or inactions. It's either actions that should not be taken, thoughts that should not be taken in, or a lack of action that should have been taken. One or the other. I should not have done this, or I should have done that, and I did neither. I went the wrong direction. And over time, faith can wane. Over time, strength can wane, just like it does physically. All of us understand we've got to work a little harder. I've got a back issue, and I'm currently in therapy again for another back issue, okay? And so I had a nurse tell me just the other day, she said, you know, now she's older than me, so she could say this to me. She says, you know, your best asset on this over the last 30 years is that you had time on your side. And that's starting to kind of catch up. We know from a physical standpoint that we have to sometimes do more than we used to have to do just to maintain something in a physical strength. We know that as time moves on, we've got to maybe eat a little differently than we used to do to avoid, you know, something else happening, right? Well, as we get along in the faith, there are things that we have to continue to do to maintain. And there are things we should do if we need to regain. We'll look at all of that over the course of the next few minutes. God is my strength. In 2018, there was a new world record set for the deadlift. Now, if you don't know what a deadlift is, there you go. There's the head, the bar up here in the skit. They just go down, and they're going to grab it, and they're going to come up all in one motion and put it down. How much weight do you think somebody could lift in a deadlift manner and set a world record? Well, the guy was from Iceland. He's an actor. His name is Hafþór Bjornsson. And looking at how much weight he lifted, his name is Hafþór. I wouldn't call him half anything. He's a whole. But Hafþór lifted 1,118 pounds. Anybody think they can beat that? Show of hands. And so this is a person of strength, of great strength. But let me tell you, strength can wane. One of my friends is Earl Young. Earl Young is in Dallas, Texas. Earl was on the cover of Sports Illustrated in 1960, having won a gold medal. In fact, he won two for the United States in the Olympics. Earl was an amazing athlete. The first time I met Earl was not back then. It was just probably basically a decade ago, maybe a little more, maybe 11 or 12 years ago. I met Earl, and I couldn't believe how old he was. I thought, there's no way that guy's that old. You talk about in shape. And then Earl came down with an illness that put him in a wheelchair. You know, there's something just not right about a guy being known for something and the very thing he's known for is the very thing that leaves. You know what I mean? Well, my friend Ricky, when he was 17 years old, was the number one ranked tennis player in the United States. He was the number four ranked tennis player in the world of all 17-year-olds. He's been in a wheelchair since he was 18. He's 58, 59. All he had to do was graduate and sign his professional intent. And he made a poor choice and he wrapped his car around a tree over into a culvert and ditch area just around the governor's mansion there in Nashville. And he's been in a wheelchair ever since. Now I look at Ricky and he's not the athlete that he was. and his life was dramatically different. The very thing he was known for is the very thing that left him from the waist down at that point. Sad. There was a chance my parents were going to be here tonight. I don't go anywhere where people don't ask me about Dad. My father is Marlon Connolly. Many of you know him, but if you did not know that, that's my dad's name, Marlon Connolly. Dad was a professor at Lipscomb 34 years, and he was a gospel preacher for 50 some odd years. Dad has Alzheimer's disease. He's had it 6 years, maybe seven. And the very thing my dad is known for is the very thing he can't do. He's known for his mind. Jim Bill McIntyre asked me one time. He said, "Annie, I got a question for you." He said, do you have that same steel trap that your dad has? You know what I'm talking about. It's a steel trap. It's come in one time. It's not going anywhere. If he saw it for a millisecond, it's not going anywhere, and he can spit it out verbatim at any point in time for the remainder of his life. Do you have that steel trap mind? And I said, Brother Jim Bill, I said, you know my mom, don't you? And he said, well, of course. He said, what a wonderful lady. And he said, other than my Betty, that's the way he said it, other than my Betty, if there's a finer preacher's wife in the church, I don't know who she is. I said, I agree with you, Brother Jim Bell. I said, so you know her and you think a lot of her. Isn't she wonderful? He said, she is. I said, I'm just like her. No, I don't have that. It's sad when the very thing that somebody is known for is the very thing that leaves. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says there's a time for everything. And that's why later in the book of Ecclesiastes he'll say, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. And guess what comes next? Many of you will know this. The word in most translations, before. Remember your Creator now in the days of your youth, before. And then everything that comes the rest of the chapter is a wonderfully drawn picture, poetic picture of the aging process. And people that have lived up to a certain point can look at that and they can understand that real well, as he writes in chapter 12, maybe better than a youth group could. There's a time for everything. And if it hadn't hit yet, that time is coming. If the Lord allows you to live long enough, there's a time coming. I try to tell young groups all the time, but be careful not to assume that you're going to necessarily reach that time, because I can now reach the number of 9 if you want to take it all the way up to age 50. But if you just want to cut it off at 34, I can name 7 close friends. Not people I just happened to go to school with or kind of had a loose connection with somewhere. Close personal friends that died between my and their ages 14 and 34. And if you want to go up to prior to, if you want to include anything prior to age 50, make it 9. 2 of them died on the way to my house in separate motorcycle accidents in different years. I was the last person to talk to both of them. I was waiting on them at the house. Time for everything. And that time can include not necessarily or just the physical, but that time certainly can include the spiritual. And so the reason that we shake stuff in front of the brethren as often as we do, including those that are Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and Sunday school, and VBS, the reason we say this over and over and over is because Satan knows exactly who you are, and he is coming for you. And let me just say it, the only way I know to say it, he hates you. My boys still don't know this. And so I'm going to tell my wife's niece and her husband, John and Amanda Lawson, I'm going to tell John and Amanda, please don't tell Drew and Will this. We still hadn't told them. Now, it's all right if it slips out now. But we've been broken into in our home. Anybody been broken into in your home? Show of hands. Anybody had their house broken into or their business? Yeah. Well, we were broken into, and I ran the guy out of the house. I came in on him. He was in my house. And had I not left my cell phone on the kitchen counter and had to come back for it, he'd have come in on my wife, who got home 5 minutes after I came in. What'd we do? Whatever that, how many years ago that was. They were small. We didn't want to tell them because we didn't want to scare them. We didn't have an alarm system. How long do you think it took me to get an alarm system? Because after all, I know everybody in town. I knew an alarm guy. You do what you have to do if you think you're in danger. My fear is that not enough of God's people who are Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, VBS, church camp people, see themselves as having a target on their back. But why would Satan need to chase and hunt those he already has? It's you. It's you. He wants you because you're the workers. He wants you because you're the faithful. You don't take a tree down at the top. If you want to take it all the way down, you don't do this. You do this. And so you need to consider maintenance of strength. My strength comes from the Lord. The book of Judges, in chapter 2 and verse 16, we get the first phrase that's throughout the rest of the book, and God raised up judges. And then he gets specific in different chapters all over the book, and God raised up so-and-so, God raised up so-and-so. Do you know what happens before God raised up so-and-so? Here's another phrase in Judges that is throughout the book. Then the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. And we get it again and again that they did it again. Then the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. And they would fall into what God allows by disobedience. Eventually the children of Israel would cry, and God would raise up judges who had kind of a three-pronged capacity, civil and, you know, judicial magistrate, and but also there was a religious, a faith aspect there, and a military aspect. And God would raise up, and he eventually raises up Samson. By the time you get to Judges chapter 13, the Philistines are upon them again. Chapter 13 of Judges verse 1 says it, again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So because they cry out, chapter 14 verse 1 allows us to meet Samson. In chapter 14 verse 6 and verse 19, we get this phrase, the Spirit of the Lord. God sent His Spirit over Samson. That's twice in the first chapter where he's introduced to us. So you get to Judges chapter 14, 15, and 16, and we're looking at Samson. The young ones are looking at Samson tonight. But when you get to that final chapter, 16, you get this phrase out of verse 20 that's sad. Here's verse 20. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. You remember that from a Sunday school class somewhere, or a VBS somewhere, or maybe you were taught it in the home, which hopefully is the first place you heard it? I'm going to say this. There are going to be a lot of kids that are going to hear at any... This isn't a gray mirror issue. It's VBS anywhere you go. There's a lot of kids that hear certain things for the very first time. That's why we have VBS. But that shouldn't be from the kids from this congregation, I'll tell you that. That shouldn't be. Hope it's not. So hopefully it happened in the home. And you learned about Samson, and you learned about how he just rose up and did what he always did. He was always able to rely on his strength. Have you ever heard the phrase, he's always landing on his feet? And what we mean is, there's somebody who tends to maybe get himself in a potential, maybe it'd be a pickle for somebody else, but not for him, because he has a great skill in this. He or she has a great ability, a great connection, a great something. You know, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Somehow, he's always able to land on his feet. Talent's a dangerous thing. Being blessed in certain ways is wonderful in one way and can be dangerous in other ways, because you tend to rely on your talent. You tend to rely on your connection. Oh, I'll just pick up the phone and call so-and-so. I've got the name, I've got the connection, or I've got this skill. And so because you know you can, you don't do other things behind the scenes that can keep it from happening in the first place. That's all right. I'll land on my feet. I always do because I've got fill in the blank. Spiritually, that's a damning tendency. Spiritually, that's dangerous. And Samson thought he would land on his feet, so to speak. Again, Samson said, well, I'll just throw off the cords and I'll whip them again and run them all out and that'll do it. But by the time you get to chapter 16 and verse 20, this phrase is haunting. I think it ought to be. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. My mother-in-law lived in Lewisburg. My wife came up. I met her in college at Lipscomb, and she was from Lewisburg. And her parents down there, Tom and Ruth Orr, they both passed away of cancer at different times of life. And my mother-in-law passed away about 2.5, almost 3 years ago, or 3.5 years ago. By the time we knew she had cancer, it was in stage 4, I think. It was stage 4 before we even knew she was sick. Have you heard those situations? Of course. Happens all the time. That can happen spiritually. Samson didn't even know he had a situation. He thought he had something else. He didn't know that the Lord had left him. Oh, I'll just be able to... That doesn't just happen physically with people. Sometimes you're at a stage where you cannot respond the way you used to respond. How does that happen? It happens over time. I preached years ago for a congregation. We had one deacon that began to slough off, shrink back, however you want to say it. And we could see it. Some of us had talked about it. One or two had tried to talk to him about it. Finally, there came the day when he said, I need to talk with you a little bit. When can we get together? We got together over breakfast. We're sitting there eating at Pancake Pantry in Nashville. And he said this phrase, here's where I am. And then he said, quote, I don't have any idea how I got here. I don't know how I got here. And I told him, I said, I don't believe you. I refuse to believe that you don't know how you got here. It's just baffling to me, or some phrase like that he used. And I said, no, it's not. Can I ask you a question or two? I said, let me ask you three. And I'm going to let you answer, and you answer however you want to answer, and I'm not going to argue with your answer. If you want to say it's this, then I'm just going to move on to the next question. But I believe you're going to be honest. And I asked him three questions. On a scale of 1 to 10, rate yourself. How do you think you're doing in the last 6 months or the last year, whatever I said, in terms of attendance, Bible study and worship? And this was his answer. He looked at me. He put his head down. I said, Never mind. Let me ask you a second question. On a scale of 1 to 10, rate yourself. I'm not going to say a word. How would you rate yourself in times with the body outside of worship time, when we're doing other things together, times of fellowship and various things that we do around the building or around the property or even outside or off somewhere, things we do together, just being together, or you just getting together individually with the body, members of the body, outside of church time? How would you rate your... I said, never mind. Let me ask you a third question. Scale of 1 to 10, rate yourself. I'm not going to say a word. How would you rate your prayer life? Same response. I paused for a moment. I said, do you still want to tell me you don't know how you got here? Samson did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Numbers chapter 6, the first 21 verses, give a picture of what we call the Nazarite vow. And part of that in the cutting of the hair, it's just a sign or it's a symbol of separation and consecration. Come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. You know, that's still true. Somebody said, well, that was in the Old Testament. Doesn't have anything to do with it. God is, in nature and character, does not, has not changed. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And so it was a sign of a symbol that people would know by separation and consecration he would do that. But as the kids will learn back there, Samson is now nothing more than a trophy, and there are 3,000 people in chapter 16 watching him being made fun of, being made sport of. He's now a spectacle. He's a laughingstock. He prays. He asks one more time. And they place him there at the pillars, and you learn that maybe as a young person, and he's able to do what he used to be able to do. And where did it come from? It comes from God. One time. I want to suggest to you for the remainder of our time that solemn vows are serious things. That Nazarite vow, that cutting of the hair and all that went on to it, again, you can see that in Numbers chapter 6. A symbol, a sign of separation and consecration. My dad never did a wedding without saying these words. I've heard him do too many weddings to count, and I've never heard him do a wedding but what he didn't say this, including in my own wedding, where he said, solemn vows are serious things. I want you to understand that we should know this about strength. God is my strength. It comes, it's a reward that comes from the Redeemer. I want you to remember that it's a reward from the Redeemer. Psalm 121, the first two verses, I will look to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. My help comes from the Lord. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, and my God shall supply all your needs. A lot of you will know what I'm about to reference, and some of you may not and consider yourself blessed. Considering the phrase, my God will supply all your needs, we live in a culture which says, and QVC will supply all my needs. Paul told the church at Philippi it was something else. I'm in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. I want to read that to you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I love verse 4. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. In love, verse 5, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself according to the kind intention of His will. We can move on through further verses in the same thought, but Ephesians 1, 3, 4, 5 is where I was. And that teaches this. It's in the genes. Strength is in the genes. In a spiritual sense, it's a genetic response. I was preaching at the Bellevue congregation in Nashville a few years ago where I grew up, and when things were done and closed out with a prayer, and here comes a guy down the left side or to my left, and he's just making a beeline to me, and he's got to wait for the ladies that taught me when I was in second grade that are all up there. But here he comes and he waits his time, and his wife is behind him, and she goes, don't pay him any attention, just don't pay him any attention. She's going, you know, and all that. And I'm just looking at her and laughing, wondering what's about to come out. He says, I got a question for you. All right, Blake, I've known him forever. He said, you practice that, don't you? Practice what? He said, you practice how you speak, don't you? I said, Blake, I don't know. And she's telling him, Blake, just hush, just go on. He's got other people to talk to. And I'm telling you, it's silly. It's a silly insinuation. What are you talking about? As the conversation went on, he thought that I practiced in younger years in front of a mirror with a video to have the same mannerisms and gestures as my father. He said, it's uncanny. He said, I know when you're going to point to the right, when you're going to point to the left, when your hand is going to go like this, when you're going to do this, when you're going to do this, when you're going to back up. I know when you're going to do everything because I've watched Marlon so long. Look, I couldn't imitate my father if I tried. I don't know what he does. I lived with him. I'm too close. You know, we talk about things being in the genes. Oh, he looks just like, or she looks just like, or they sound just like, or they tendencies just like. Well, sure, it's a genetic line. What Paul is saying here is, look, it's supposed to be in the genes. The source was the Father. Our strength comes from the Lord. I'm going to look there. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. My God will supply all your needs. And not only Ephesians 1 verse 3 did He give us every spiritual blessing, but verse 4, He chose us before the foundation of the world. Our strength is in the genes. Some people go against their genes. Some people fight against their genes. Some people go against, here's a good southern expression, their raisin. But if I'm to be strong, it's going to be only, first, foremost, the source, foundationally, it is a reward from the Redeemer. Second thing I want you to remember, our strength isn't just a reward from the Redeemer, our strength can regress. Our strength can regress. That means shirk back, shrink back. It can regress. I have a friend whose wife, in fact, Andrew has the same friend, preacher friend, just outside of Dallas, Texas, and his wife had cancer maybe 20 years ago or close to it, and then she went into remission and it has recently returned and she hasn't been doing too well. We understand that can happen in a physical sense. Our strength can regress. Something can return in a negative sense of using the word return. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, Paul writing to the church at Galatia, trying to remind them, don't go back. Why go back? Why go back to circumcision? Why go back to the law to try to be justified by the law? But some were, and they were having this problem. And Paul's saying, why go back? And when you get to verse 7 of Galatians 5, he says this, you were running well. Who cut in on you and hindered you from obeying or staying with just the truth, not going back to something else that you had supposedly thrown away? You were running well. Who cut in on you? Look, those passages of Scripture don't exist. Those passages don't exist in Scripture if it's not possible for that to happen. I probably don't have to say this in this room tonight on a Tuesday night at the Graymere Congregation in Columbia, Tennessee. But I never know what everybody's individual background is, or maybe who's visiting from a completely different situation. Please understand, I think most would, and I know you, those that are here regularly understand this. The New Testament knows nothing of a once saved, always saved doctrine. It's just not there. My strength, which is a reward only from the Redeemer, that's the source. My strength can regress. We understand that in physical life. Why can't we understand that in spiritual consideration? We should. You were running well. But somebody cut in on you, and you allowed that. Those letters to the churches in the early part of the book of Revelation, we think about Revelation 3 especially. I think the Laodicean church gets the most play because of one phrase. Oh, I wish you were hot or cold, but you're neither. You're just lukewarm. I want to spew you out of my mouth. We get that. There's regular performance review, Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. And in one of those, he warns them, and it's kind of a warning and an admonition and encouragement all at the same time. He says in Revelation chapter 2 to the church at Ephesus, remember and return. Remember and go back to something you were doing. What's the insinuation? What does logic demand? Logic demands they weren't where they used to be in strength. That strength that is a reward from the Redeemer, and that's the only place it can come from, can regress. But not because the Redeemer is suddenly not strong anymore. That's why John says to the church at Ephesus, return. You've gone somewhere. You've started something you shouldn't have started or stopped something you shouldn't have stopped. Remember and return. Our strength can regress. Third, I want you to think about the word reward. My strength comes from the Lord. It's a reward from the Redeemer, but it can regress. But the gospel is good news. Here's the good news. If it has, it can return. James chapter 4, verse 7 through 10. It's one of those passages of Scripture that we use and sing with the little ones often. I love that particular passage that wraps up in verse 10 with humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He'll lift you up. If you look at verse 8 in James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, verse 8 says, draw near to me and what? I'll draw near to you. I'm responsive. Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. That reward that is sort of waned, is regressed, can return. Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. That's chapter 4, verse 8. By the time you get to James 4, verse 10, he says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and what? He'll lift you up. The Bible is full of reminders that that strength that may have regressed can return. We make the first move. And then I want you to not just think about the word reward, or the words, it's a reward from the Redeemer. That's the source. My strength is in the Lord. That it can regress, but I want you to remember it can also return. And if it returns, it can remain so that you never have to go through that again. It can remain. That's the fourth word. That's the fourth R. It can remain. Psalm 139 and verse 10. My right hand will hold you. My right hand will hold you. Now that's not without our cooperation. Jude has but one chapter. And in verse 21, well, let me back up. In verse 24, just before ending, completing the book, in verse 24, Jude says, now to Him who is able to keep you from falling. But guess what? Something happens before he says that in verse 24. He says something else in verse 21 of Jude. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Dual responsibility. God will not fail His. God will not fail His part of the equation. My right hand will hold you. Just keep yourselves in the love of God. That reward that can regress and that can return can also remain and never regress again. Keep yourselves in the love of God. You know, some people outside of the church and out in the world and people we try to talk with and influence toward the kingdom, and they look at something, maybe it's Matthew chapter 5, it's Sermon on the Mount, it's Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and it's a sermon on righteousness. Really, if you boil it down, the Sermon on the Mount is a sermon on righteousness. How God goes about making man righteous who can't stand righteous in and of his own goodness. We've got to submit to the righteousness of God, righteousness of Christ. You'll never be if you don't submit to His righteousness. That's why Matthew 5, verse 3 is the first beatitude. The reason it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, I do not believe the beatitudes are ordered randomly. I think there's a reason that Matthew 5, 3, the start of the beatitude, says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who recognize their spiritual poverty. Because if I don't recognize that, I'll never submit to the righteousness of Christ because I don't know that I have to. The ultimate blessing for those that recognize they, in and of their own goodness, are spiritually impoverished, if that's all they bring, if they bring their goodness and attempt salvation by their goodness, that's why Paul is saying, don't go back, don't go back. Then they bring nothing to the table. Well, the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 kind of have two sides, right? Blessed are the, blessed are the, blessed are the. That's the left side of the equation. The right side of the equation is, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For they shall be called sons of God. For they shall be filled. You know, those kinds of things. And we need to look at the right side. The world says, and we need to teach this too, the world says, I can't be all that, I can't be all that, I can't be all that. You gotta be this, you gotta be this, you gotta be this. Look at the left side. All the blessed are the this, have to take on all these qualities. You people just aren't realistic. I can't do that, I can't be that, for they will be filled. Oh, no, wait a minute. Huh. What's in it for me? We can always do more than we think we can when we focus on a reward we don't deserve, but a reward nonetheless. And every once in a while, even those that have been in the church, they shirk back, shrink back, and regress because they just don't think it can remain. God's grace is going to have to allow for this. Look, God's grace, that, don't limit the doctrine of God's grace to something that only is a word that you could just replace with forgiveness or mercy. Forgiveness, mercy, and grace all flow together, but they are not the same thing. It's not just Kleenex or Puffs. You say forgiveness, I say mercy, you say it's just all the same thing. Not really. The doctrine of grace, grace to help in time of need, grace goes beyond just that which saves my soul. Grace gets into the business of helping me live it here and now. Empowering me to be able to live it and remain. So I don't regress. Grace is about helping me live it, not just forgiving my sin. And so that strength that is only a reward from the Redeemer, and that strength that can regress, and that strength that can return, can also remain next time. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. By this we know, that we're His children. By this we know, that we keep His commands, and His commands are not grievous. Some translations are not burdensome. We didn't say they're not challenging. We said they're not grievous and they're not burdensome. And we've got to believe that ourselves before anybody out there is going to believe that. 1 John 5:3, His commands are not burdensome. It may be challenging. Well, why? Why would He allow a challenge for me to be strong? Again, we understand this from the physical world. I want to be strong. Well, let's go over here and work out. Let's lift some weights. Let's do some exercise. Well, you don't want to be strong then. Well, yeah, I want to be strong. No, you don't. Dad used to have, you know, when you teach school, and I don't, school teachers may be in here, may have several school teachers, but I mentioned that Dad taught at the university there at Lipscomb for 34 years, and, you know, he heard every excuse in the world that you can imagine for why this paper wasn't done, or why someone did poor on a test, or why this, why that, and a project. And he had a guy come in and tell him one time, Dr. Connolly, I slept through 10 alarms. Come to find out that he didn't set 10 different alarms. He slept through, you know, hitting the snooze button, you know, however many times you can hit it and it'll go off 10 minutes later and you hit it again, that sort of thing. I slept through 10 alarms. I've never seen back then it was a clock radio, that would actually do it 6 times, or 10 times. But he said, I slept through 10 alarms. And Dad's response was, it's because you wanted to. It's because you wanted to. Look, folks, somebody's got to tell the world the truth, and somebody has to tell the church the truth, and you ought to tell yourselves the truth and expect it told to you in accountability amongst one another. His commands are not burdensome. His commands are not grievous. They may be challenging. But that's for our strength. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 does a beautiful job of explaining why God allows certain things in the lives of those He loves when times get tough. And he writes in James 1, 2 through 4 about perseverance and what it does for me and the strength it ultimately brings me. That's a foreign concept to our culture, to our world, that difficulties can be a blessing. But it shouldn't be a foreign concept to the Lord's people. I want to ask you to keep a God resume. I don't know if you have any thoughts on what I mean. I ask you a question to see if, and ask you if you have a God resume. One time years ago, I was in quite a challenge. And just decided to do this one day. I took a legal pad out and I drew a line down the middle of the page and I put challenge, outcome. Challenge, outcome. You know, you don't have to write very long, except I was able to get onto a second and third page before you see the hand of God. Did David not give his God resume before he went out to battle with Goliath? In front of Saul, did he not give his God resume? Hey, you need to take this, boy. You should put on your armor. What are you doing? No, my God will deliver me. Well, what do you mean your God will deliver? Well, let me tell you about the time this, and let me tell you about the time that. Let me tell you, do you have a God resume? You need one. You need a God resume. What is a resume? It's something that someone can look at. In this case, it's something I can go back and look at for myself, and then later use to teach others. It's something I need to go back and look at from time to time. A resume is where somebody looks at something and based on that, they think maybe you're telling the truth of what you can do for their company as an employee. And that's all you got to go on. Well, what's your basis for believing that you can fill this role for us? Well, here's what I've done. That's what I got. Here's what I've done. What has God done? Challenge, outcome. You need to build yourself a God resume. Remember all the times your strength had to come from the Lord because you sure didn't have any more of it in yourself. Physical, spiritual, emotional. You need to build a God resume. And I'll tell you what it'll do for you. It'll give you confidence for the next challenge. It'll give you peace. It'll allow you to sleep. Better perhaps at least. Because you're reminded. In fact, I'm reminded of the old great song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. I love that song. Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. And then the chorus, Great is Thy Faithfulness. You need a God resume. We closed recently a lesson at Center Chapel. Prior to offering the invitation there, we closed by just singing a song together, You Are My All in All. And it says, You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking You as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Of course, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is Your name. Repeat it. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is Your name. Taking my cross, my sin, my shame, rising again, I bless Your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, You pick me up. When I'm dry, You fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, the Lamb of God, worthy is Your name. That's your source of strength. Your strength is a reward from the Redeemer. Don't try to get it anywhere else. It's in the Redeemer. Your strength can regress. That's why even the Sunday morning, Sunday night, let me back up, Sunday school, then Sunday morning, then Sunday night, Wednesday night, VBS, church camp people need to be on guard. It can return. it can also remain. And it's easier to prevent a fall than it always is to clean one up. My strength is in the Lord. Let's close with prayer. Father, thank you for the strong, a part of this body, for the faith they have in you, for how it plays in this community, for the influence that is theirs, for the patience that is theirs, and Father, for the strength that is theirs, because they get their strength from you and not in and of their own goodness or abilities. Father, continue to reveal yourself to them. Continue to show yourself. Continue to show your faithfulness, that each time they have a challenge, be it physical or spiritual or emotional or any other kind, relational, that you will have shown yourself time and time again, and they can look at a resume of your faithfulness. And it won't have to regress. And it won't have to return. It'll just remain. Thank you for what they do. Thank you for this week. We ask you to bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. I appreciate your attention. Always good to be with you.